the church. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. Just as a song that we sang a little bit ago says, that this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God, I thank you, Lord, that we have this time to gather together, to come together as a church, to come together as God's family, and to worship, to encourage each other, to hear from each other, God, to minister to each other. And we have this time to hear your word today, Lord. God, I pray a blessing over us here. Just as we prayed for our children, God, I pray the same thing for us. Would you bless us here in this room as we open the Bible, as we see your heart for your people today, as we see yet another reason to say, how great is our God. Amen. You know, if you leave here today and if you don't remember anything else, let it be that chorus. How great, oh, how great is our God. Well, Happy New Year's to everyone. It is a new year. This is an exciting time. Some people don't care much about New Year's, and that's okay, but I find it very enjoyable. Because for me, it's a time to be able to look back on this previous year, and it's a time to look forward into what's coming. Now today's kind of a special day for me because today, last year ago, today is the anniversary of when I was able to step in as the lead pastor here at Centerpoint. And so thank you to the 5 or 8 people. Your checks are in the mail. I appreciate that. But as I was looking back at last year, you may have heard me say, because I often characterized our time as a time of transition. You know, in our family, we've experienced a lot of transition. We're trying to transition to our new kind of rhythm of life. What does that look like? The church is experiencing transition. But as I thought about it more and more, I began to realize that just as last year was a time of transition, a time of change, I'm starting to think that we're always in a time of transition in one way or another in life. You know, many of you have experienced transitions this year, some good, some not so good. Many of you have experienced changes in your job or changes in a relationship. Many of you have experienced great blessings with a medical problem you were having, but God has brought you out of that. And several are experiencing some negative news medically. I just got a text this morning to pray for a family in our church. Because the husband ended up in the hospital last night. And so we are constantly in a time and in a season of change, in a season of transition. But if we always focus on that, life can become very chaotic. You see, we need some constants in life to hold us steady. We need an anchor that's going to keep us steady, keep us secure, no matter what changes are going on all around us. Now, some people look for that anchor within their family, some people within their jobs or their hobbies or whatever the case may be. But today, I want to share with you a truth, a very simple truth, that can serve as the anchor of your life, that can serve as a constant in the midst of change. And that truth is this: you belong. See, more specifically, you belong to God. God sees you, God knows you, and he calls you to belong to him. No matter what's going on in your life, you can rest assured knowing that God calls you to belong to him. In fact, this is what the Bible says. It says that God is the one who made all things, and all things are for his glory. God made all things, and everything's for his glory. He must have a bunch of glory. Then listen to this. He wanted to have many children share his glory. God wants to share his glory, and he wants to share it with you. Now, if that's all that verse said, how amazing would that be? That God, the King of the universe, the one that is full of glory, he sees you and he wants to share that glory with you. How valuable must you be to him if he wants to share his glory with you? But it gets even better than that. Because notice that verse doesn't say God wants to share his glory with his servants or his colleagues or his associates or people that he met once. He says, I want to share my glory with my children. God created you that you might be in his family and that he might share his glory with you. As I'm looking forward into 2020, into this new year, which, by the way, I'd be willing to bet anything that about half the churches across this country have some sort of a sermon called the 2020 Vision, seeing clearly in 2020. You know, preachers, we kind of like that stuff. And how often do you get to say that? I mean, come on. No one's been able to say that before. No one will be able to say it again. We got 2020 Vision. And so we're moving forward here. I did not make that the title of the message, even though I really, really wanted to. But as I'm looking forward into 2020, a theme that I think we're going to see is this theme of belonging, of knowing deep down that no matter what happens, we belong to God. Now, there's many names for God's family. God calls us to be a part of his family, to belong to his family. And the Bible describes his family in many different ways. But the most familiar way that we might know of God's family is we know it as the church. Listen to this. Paul writes, you should know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, meaning as part of God's family, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Now here, when he writes the church, he's not speaking primarily of any specific church. He's speaking of the great church, the universal church, the church that has existed throughout all times and in all places and all cultures. That's the church that he's speaking of, and he calls it his family. Now that also has implications for us as a local church, and we'll talk about those in just a little bit, but I want us to see that God calls us, God invites us, God brings us, that we might belong to him and that we might belong to his family, the church. You know, so many of us, we go through life and we wonder if we're really accepted by people. If they really knew who I was, if they really knew who I am, would they accept me? And so often we put on masks, we put on a face, we act differently, we try to cover up who we really are so that someone might accept us. I see this played out even within families. You see married couples that have been together, that have been happy together for years, and then one of them decides that they're tired of wearing this mask, and so they take it off. And that causes great conflict in the marriage, it causes great confusion. But know this, God sees through your masks. God knows you for who you are deep down. God knows the good, he knows the bad, he even knows the ugly. And he calls you to belong to him and to belong to his family. God accepts you, and he's waiting for you to come to him. Now today, with our message today, I want to do something a little bit different. You see, I could stand up here for 30 or 35 minutes or 45 minutes or however long we wanted to, really, and I could tell you over and over again, you belong to God. And that's a great truth. That's an amazing thing to understand. But instead, what I thought I'd do is ask a few people to help me and to show you what it means to them in their life and in their story to not only belong to God, but to belong to his church. And so I made a couple of phone calls this week and strong-armed some people into coming up here and helping me. The joke is I can't strong-arm anybody. That's the joke beneath the joke. But What I want us to do right now is I want us to invite Pamela. Pamela, come on up here. Let's welcome Pamela up to the platform, can we? Let's go. Now, I told Pamela that she's got to preach a 30-minute sermon, and she wasn't feeling that. So, it'll be a little bit shorter than that. But what I wanted to ask Pamela is this. What does it mean to you to belong to God? What does that mean to you?
It means a lot to me. God is my father, and he is an awesome, awesome God.
Come on.
I came to Columbia almost 3 years ago as a traveling histologist, and he knows me so well. He knows that I love children. He knows that I kind of like people, but he puts me in. You know, my job at the university, he knew that it was going to take more than just a job to keep me here. So when I first came here, I was looking for a Zumba class, and so I happened to look online and find Refit. And Kayla and Megan, when I came to the class, they invited me to church. And what so happened, I came and I never left. And he knew that I was going to have a family to stay here because the ups and downs. And I have so many sisters and brothers in this church. And I have nieces and nephews for all different kind of mothers and fathers, which keeps me whole because I love being with kids. And I just love the way that God is a father, no matter what situation that you're in. He always have a ram in the bush, as I always say, you know, when you think that things are bad. And I really do feel that Center Point is my home, you know. And right now I'm in the process of trying to become a foster parent. And they asked me, where was my support group coming from? And I say, it's my church family. They will support me through it all. And that's great. I come from a family where I have 6 brothers. I have no sisters. But God knew. He gave me so many sisters in here, and I'm so grateful for that. And I just want to say that this is a great place to be. I mean, Pastor Micah and his family, when I'm here in town, I always go over for Christmas and have breakfast with the kids. And that's, it does a lot for me because sometimes I miss my brothers and my nieces at home, but that helps me to make it through the holiday. And this is a great place to be. The people are wonderful. I mean, the sermons are great. You know, I tell him, you know, I said, oh, that was a great illustration you did last Sunday. He was like, thank you, Pamela. So, I mean, it's great being here, and I love everybody here. So it's great for me. God has been so good to me and everything. You know, you have trials and tribulations that come, but God always puts somebody in there to give you a word, and you're like, okay, I guess I can do this. So I just want to say I love you all, and I like being here. Thank you.
That's awesome. Now, before you go, you didn't know I was going to ask some questions. I didn't know it either. How long did you travel for your job? How many years did you have that?
I've been a traveling histologist for a little over 10 years. I've been in histology for 27.
So from 10 years of traveling to 3 years ago, getting settled.
Yeah. Even when I first came here, I didn't think that I was going to stay. It's a college town. I was like, it's not much here. You know, I'm just going to do the job. But God knew how to hook me in. He hooked me into this ministry. And it's so funny because when even the new job that I've taken at Boone, they asked me what made me stay here. And I say, it's my church family. I became a part of a ministry here that I wasn't ready to let go. And I'm still holding on. So that's how I became a part. That's why I'm still here.
That's great. That's great. Thank you. You know, my wife and I, Kayla, we have an ongoing debate about Miss Pam, T-Pam as she's known in our house, about was it the church that made her want to stay or was it our daughter Genesis? She's always buying her stuff and bringing clothes and brought presents over for Christmas, doing all these wonderful things. Pamela is awesome. It's a great summary. She's just awesome. But that's really what it means to belong to a family. You have brothers and sisters that you've never met before, that you didn't know, but God knits you together. And when that happens, you can say, not only do I belong to God, but I belong to his people. And you can't separate those two. Now, you can't separate belonging to God from belonging to his people. You can't separate God from his family. That's like someone that says, well, I want to invite you over, but can you leave your spouse at home? Would that go over well? No. But yet sometimes I hear people say, and in fact it's a lot more common than what we may think, we'll hear people say that I love Jesus. Jesus is wonderful. Just not so sure about his church. And there's a disconnect there, and I wonder why. Why is it that we as a people, we may feel this hesitancy to belong to God's family? And I think the answer is real simple. It's because we're messy. There's people in God's family, and people have sharp edges at times. People have baggage. People have hurts that they're bringing with them. And sometimes that can turn people away. But listen to this. The Bible says that both the one who makes people holy, that's God, and those who are made holy, that'd be us, are of the same family. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Now, over the past month or two, you've likely been reconnected with some of your family over Thanksgiving, over Christmas. Maybe parts of your family that you haven't seen since last Thanksgiving or last Christmas. And in all likelihood, you're probably reminded as to why you don't see them more than once or twice a year. Let's just be real for a second. Anybody got some folks in your family that you wouldn't claim out in public? Just saying. All right, we got a couple of honest people in here. I appreciate that. But Jesus, he calls you to be in his family. And he's not ashamed to name you as his brother or his sister. Jesus is willing to stand in front of all the earth and say, that's my sister. That's my brother. That's what it means to belong to God and to belong to his family. But we can't minimize the fact that families, that can be difficult. You know, Jesus struggled with his family. You know, there was a time when he walked this earth and he was going around doing these wonderful miracles that we talked about, teaching folks and healing them and raising the dead, doing unbelievable things. And his family thought he was crazy. They thought he was insane. The Bible tells us of one time when they came to try to grab Jesus and to force him to go home. They wanted to lock him up until he could get his mind right. Jesus had some difficulties with his family. And if Jesus did, I think it's safe to say we will too. And that's no different from our church family, by the way. Anybody ever experienced hurt from the church? You know, it's interesting. I came to Christ, about 10 years ago, give or take. And so I've spent more of my life outside of God's family than I have in, actually. But the greatest hurts I've experienced have not been from people outside of God's family. They're from people inside. Didn't that sound off? It shouldn't be that way. But I'm willing to wager that's true for many of you as well. And so the temptation that we might feel is this: I'm connected to God, I love Jesus, I'm going to follow him and forget about the church. I don't need that in my life. After all, the church is full of messy people. People that have emotional baggage, that have emotional stuff coming along with them. You know, when you come to Christ, you don't leave your baggage and your insecurities at the door. They come with you. And then over time, as we give those to God, they get dealt with one by one by one. But sometimes we can be hurt by other people's insecurities, or by them acting out of their own fears. The church can be messy. And the temptation is, well, just walk away from it. I've got other things I could do. Why be involved there? Why put myself out there where I might be hurt? Now, I've asked someone else to come up and to share with us this morning. And this is a person that has experienced, just like many of us have, but have experienced a messy church, has experienced the parts of God's family that have some sharp edges, which is pretty much all of us. But yet she's not given up on the church. I want to ask her to share with you. Let's welcome Julia up here to the platform. Where's Julia? There you are. Come on up here. Now, my conversation with Julia went a little bit different. I told her she has a minute or two, and she said, how about 30? And so we'll see how this works out. So what does it mean to belong to God's family that's full of messy people? What does that mean to you?
Well, I prepared for a different question.
Oh, that's not true.
The question that you ask me is, why do I still go to church after being a part of some really messy situations in several churches?
That's a better question. Answer that one. I like that one better.
I'm going to answer the one I know because that's the one he asked me, and I don't know. I don't know. I thought about this one. And my quick off the top of my head answer was obedience. Because God says, don't quit assembling together. So there must be a reason for that. Even if I don't get it or understand it, that's what he says, is do that. And I thought, okay. And then I also know that the church, for some reason that sometimes I don't understand, is God's plan to save the world. And so I want to be a part of that. I don't want to be outside of that. But then, as I left the phone conversation and really started thinking about why am I here, it is because I am desperate, desperate for the love of Jesus. And guess where I see him? In you. In you guys. Right there. And when I come, I want to see Brittany. I want to see her face. I want to see her baptized, which I got to see. I want to see Martha. I want to see Nancy worship. I want to see Pamela hugging people. I want to see Susan. I want to see you guys. I want to see Jeanette and all of her faithfulness. I want to see Mike, who prays for my grandchildren who don't get to go to church because their parents don't take them. I want to connect with those people. I want to worship with Lori and Candy and Pam, Ken, whoever's doing it, Lord, I want to be a part of that because I want to see Jesus. I am desperate for Jesus. And the other reason is because Jesus has given me his love for the church. I do not love people really naturally. I like them, okay, but love... That's not always true. Sometimes I don't even like them. But what he's given me is love for the church. He's given me his heart for the people. And I am desperate to give it to you. Desperate. When I see you, I got to hug Melinda. She's usually back with her fours, adoring them, connecting those moms and those children to Jesus. I've got to see the people. I got to get a hug from Gwen and Carissa. I've got to sit by my friend Anita, my best friend for 40-something years. I've got to give away the love that God has for you. It comes from him. It is not in us on our own. We don't have it. Jesus said, I shed abroad my love in your hearts. I shed it abroad. And that's what I pray every day. And the other reason is because I pray for you guys, all of you. If I know your name, I pray for you. And so it matters to me what happens to you. It matters to me when you're discouraged, and it matters to me when you're hurt. And I am thrilled when you are overjoyed because of the great love of God that he has shed abroad in my heart for you. And it is not of me. It is not of me. I know me. It's of God. That's why I'm here.
You know, if I keep asking people up here to speak, you're all going to realize I'm not a great preacher. You're going to be getting... might be out of a job here pretty soon. The church is God's plan to save the world. I don't know where you got that or if you made that up, That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. When we disconnect ourselves from the church, from God's family, we're disconnecting ourselves from Him, from His heart, from His plans for this earth. And so if we love God, then we're drawn to love His church. May not like all aspects of it, and that's okay, but we're drawn to love His church. Now, so far, we've talked about the universal church, the church that exists everywhere, the church that's been meeting this week all over the earth, and the church that met 1,000 years ago all over the church. That is the church. But now I do want us to zoom in, and I want us to look at Centerpoint Church. What does it mean to belong here? I've had some people ask me over the past year. We've had several families join the church, and they ask, well, I'm here. Now what do we do? How do we belong to the church? And so this morning, I want to give you just a few ideas of ways you could belong to Centerpoint. Now, this list is by no means exhaustive. If we went through every single way, we'd be here all day, and nobody wants that. And so these are just a few ideas to kind of get the juices flowing and to see how can we belong to God's family. You know, we can talk all day about the beauty of belonging to God's universal church. But if the conversation ends there, we've missed something because we got to do something with it. So what does it look like to belong right here? Well, the first idea I would give you is this. Come regularly to our Sunday morning services. Right after Jesus went to heaven and the church was meeting in His absence, this is how the Bible described them. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. All of these we celebrate at our large group gatherings, at our Sunday morning services. Now, they also happen in other places. It's not only here on a Sunday morning do you get teaching and fellowship and all of these things, but you do get them right here. If we picture the church as God's family, then Sunday morning is a family reunion of sorts. That's where we come together and we can encourage each other and pray for each other and say hi to the people we haven't seen in a little bit. It's here that you can bring your hurts and your burdens and you'll find people to care for you. And it's not just right here. You know, so much of the church happens around the tables out there drinking coffee. So much of the church happens after we've dismissed and people are just standing here talking, sharing life together. That's the church. And this is usually the first way that people seek to belong to a church. It's through the Sunday morning gatherings, the Sunday morning services. And so if Sunday mornings, if those are the family reunions of sorts, then what does everyday life look like? Well, that's this. My second idea for you is to join a small group. You know, right after the verse I just read, as they're describing this early church, this is what it says. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That's a large gathering. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. These are small groups that are gathering together. How do we know that it's not the whole church that gathered in someone's home? Well, the Bible says that in one day, 3,000 people joined the church. They're not all fitting in somebody's house. This has to be small groups that are coming together and that are sharing life together. And here, we cannot overstate the importance of small groups enough. They are the life of the church. You see, in a small group, that's where you will really experience family. You will really experience community. When you come together, when you pray together, when you worship together, when you read the Bible together, all of our small groups, they do things just a little bit differently. And so whatever the particular small group you join, what that looks like. But you go together as a family. And as the pastor here, I get to see this dynamic played out all the time. You know, I go to the hospital to visit somebody or to come because somebody's having a surgery. and I find their small group there, caring for them. I ask about setting up a meal train for a couple that's just had a baby, and then find out that their small group has already done it. I counsel a person that's struggling with loneliness, with this idea of being accepted, and I find out that they're experiencing new life in their small group. Join a small group. Commit to a small group of people to share life together. And we have some wonderful, wonderful groups here at the church. We are so blessed by them. I could tell you story after story about them, but I won't do that. But I will share one, just one. And it's important to know this. I didn't know about what I'm getting ready to tell you. I didn't know about it until after it already happened. And that sounds like it's making an excuse. No, it's a good thing. And so either Christmas Day, I think, is when I heard about this. We have a family here within our group, within our church, and I know they're experiencing some great medical needs right now. I won't go into details just for the reason that I don't have their permission to, so I'm not going to. But they're experiencing some great medical needs right now. And one of our small groups here saw that. And they got together. They raised a few $100s, I don't know exactly how much, and they brought presents for this family's children for Christmas. And they went and got necessities, groceries and toiletries, things of that nature, and brought it to the family. And they went and got gift cards to different stores and brought it to the family that the family might be blessed for Christmas. And one of my favorite parts of this story is that I don't know whose idea it was, but somebody within that group saw the need. And what they didn't do was they didn't say, man, there's a great need there. Somebody should do something about it. What they didn't say was, man, there's a great need there. The pastor needs to do something about it. I didn't even know about it, remember? What they said was, there's a great need there, and the church needs to do something about it. And so they, as the church, did all of this. And a few of the members got to go over to this family's house. And I'm telling you, you don't know what fun is until you show up for Christmas bringing presents and bringing things to a family in need. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he was exactly right. And so to that group and to the many other groups, there's many things that our small groups here do that I don't know anything about. Wonderful things. And they just do them on their own because it's the church. I want to say this to you. Well done. You know, every time we as a church, we as a people, every time one of our small groups reaches out to somebody to bless them, you're showing them the heart and the life of Christ. You're showing them the love of God. That's what we experience in small groups. That's what we experience as a part of God's family. If you're not a part of a small group, you're missing out. So I want to encourage you, find a small group and join them. Commit to them. That is where the real life of the church happens. And also, that's where you're going to find out really just how messy people are. I saw this book title, and I've got the book. I just haven't read it yet. It's on my shelf. But the title was good enough. And the title of the book is Everybody's Normal Until You Get to Know Them. In a small group, you get to know people and see just how messy people can be and see the great love of God that meets us in the midst of our mess. Another way to belong here at Centerpoint, it's really just a continuation of joining a small group, is this: meet with folks individually, one-on-one. Meet them for coffee throughout the week. Take somebody out to lunch today. Get to know people. This is a wonderful way to see God moving in our world. You know, I'm becoming more and more convinced that there is no such thing as a boring person. You understand what I'm saying? Every person you've ever met, is fascinating. And why can I say that? Because they are made in the image of God. There's a bit of God's personality inside each and every one of us. There's a bit of God's heart within each and every one of us. And God has plans for all of us. And so the more we get to know God, the more we get to know His people, the more we know people deeply, one-on-one, the more we know about our Savior, about Jesus. And so meet with people one-on-one and get to know them. Get to know how God has moved within them. That's how we really connect to God's family. The last idea I want to give you this morning, it's really twofold, but it's to support the church spiritually and materially. Now, spiritually, what I'm referring to here is what's known as spiritual gifts. I'm not going to dive deep into that because we're actually planning a sermon series and a midweek teaching series that will talk about spiritual gifts. We'll have more information about that as we get closer, but be on the lookout. But suffice it to say for now that God has given each and every one of you a gift. He has given you something that brings you joy, that you have some natural abilities with, something that you like to do, and that's from God. And it could be many different things. God has given some of you the gift of teaching. God has given some of you the gift of serving, the gift of encouraging, the gift of prayer, the gift of faith, on and on and on. God has given us spiritual gifts. Now, why? The Bible says that to each one, the gift of the Spirit is given for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit, it means the spiritual gifts there. That God has given it to you for the common good, for the good of His family. God calls you not only to belong to His family, God gives you these gifts that you might bless His family and be blessed by the gifts of others. Now, like I said, as we move forward, we'll dive deep into this idea of spiritual gifts and what they are and how to identify them. But I want to share a few different ways here this morning that you could exercise a spiritual gift. For example, here at the church right now, we have need of greeters. Do you have the spiritual gift of greeting? Do you have the gift of smiling as people walk in the door? Hand them a bulletin saying good morning? If so, we need you. We need you. And so come and talk to me after service. Email the office. Do whatever it is. We'll get that set up. But we're in need of greeters. And greeting, by the way, that's one of my favorite things to do in this church. It's a great way to get to know people. You know, maybe if you've been here for a month or two or 6 or 5 years and you don't know many people here, greeting is a great way to get to know people. My favorite time to greet is when it's raining, because then we get the umbrellas out and we go and we walk people in from their cars. And when you're sharing an umbrella with somebody, you're really close to them. And you have to talk about something, otherwise it's just weird, right? So you get to know people as they're walking in, as you're holding the umbrella for them. And all the times I've done that, I've only had one person complain about how I held the umbrella. Most people are happy that you're willing to do so. And that's okay. We love God's family, no matter what. Another area of need that we have is with our AV team, audiovisual. Now, we have a wonderful and amazing AV team. Now, AV, that's everything that you hear, your ability to hear me this morning. That's because of our AV team. The stuff you see up here, that's our AV team. Right now, we've got Drew and Luke back here in the booth doing a wonderful job. Yeah. We need more. We need more people on this team to share the load, to spread it out some. Now, to work in AV, you need a little bit more technical knowledge than you do to greet people as they come in the door. But we're happy to teach, happy to train. Come and talk to me after service. Send a message to the office. We'll get you signed up if that's something that sounds interesting to you. And so that's what it means to share your spiritual resources with the church, to find your gifts and to bring them for the common good, just as the Bible tells us to do. But we also need to support the church with our material resources. You know, the way I describe this, I heard it said once, and I've used it ever since, that the gospel is free. None of you pay to charge to get in. The gospel is free. The worship is free. We don't charge for any of that. We still need to pay the water bill. All right, are you with me on that? And so one way to belong to the church is to support the church materially. Jesus said that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so if your heart is with God and if your heart is with his family, let that be shown through your budget. Now, giving, I want to make this clarification too. Every time I bring up giving, I want to say this. Giving is not a salvation issue. You realize that when you give, God does not love you more. When you don't give, God does not love you less. The beauty of the gospel is this: God loves you. That's the end of the story, end of sentence. God loves you. But giving is a joy issue. You know, if you want to have joy with your money, be generous. That's one way to have joy. Another way is to be equipped to learn biblical ways to handle money. Jesus talked about money all the time. The Proverbs, there's a whole book in the Bible that deals not exclusively with money, but it's got a lot to say about wisdom with our money. And as we move forward over the next few weeks, we're going to have the opportunity to host a midweek class talking about how to have joy with money, how to have peace with money. We're going to be able to host Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. Very excited about this. Now, I only bring that up to say this. We'll give you more details about the exact times and all that stuff as we move forward. But if that's something of interest, please let me know. Because if you do this class, there is a fee. It doesn't come to us. It goes to them. But if we sign up with so many people at the same time, we get a discount. You know, there's some logistical stuffs there. So if that's something that sounds interesting, let me know. That way we know kind of how many to plan on. But I want you to be aware that that's coming up. And this is one way to belong to God's family right here at Center Point. Now, I've given you a few, and there's many, many other ways to belong. But what I want you to remember from this message is this: God created you to belong. God sees you. God knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he says, come, be a part of my family. Be my brother. Be my sister. He created you to belong to his family, as messy as it can be at times. It's still God's family. And he wants you to be a part of it. Remember what was shared up here. Remember what Pamela said. Remember what Julia said about what it means to really belong. Not just to this idea of God's universal church, which is beautiful, but to see how does that get lived out with actual people at an actual place. What does that look like? Remember what they said. And come and belong to God. Now, something that God's family does is pray. And I want us to pray as we close. Let's pray right now. Excuse me. God, I thank you, Lord, that you call each of us to belong to you. That there's not a single person in this room, Lord, that you are ashamed of. That you, oh Lord, would claim each and every one of us, God, in front of the entire universe. You want them to know that you are our brother. Lord, I know that there's many in here, myself included, that have experienced great hurts from one church or from another, from people that are part of God's family. And God, I ask, in the midst of those hurts, God, in the midst of those frustrations, would you bring healing? Would you bring reconciliation, oh God? God, as some of us, God, many of us maybe even at times, as we are tempted to give up on the church, to say, if that's the trouble with the church, I don't want anything to do with it. God, would you remind us, this is your family. And you want all of us to be a part of it. Oh, God. Give us the strength, Lord, to resist, to reject that temptation, God. Lord, I pray a blessing over this house. I pray a blessing over your church, over your family that's meeting all over the world today, God. I pray a blessing over Centerpoint, God, over this wonderful group of people called the church. Lord, would you meet with them as only you can do, God? And would you give us, just as I prayed a little bit ago, I pray it again, Lord. Would you give us yet another reason, another proof, another evidence to say how great is our God? Oh, sing with me. How great is our God? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And at this time, if you have children, please go and get them. God bless you. Say hi to somebody and take somebody out to lunch and get to know them.